5-4-3-2-1. Welcome to another Rain Report, available by visiting twitter.com/therainreport. I'm Larry, KB9DIP, back after a prolonged absence. As we wiggle our way into spring, it's time to not only organize for field day, but to also bone up on our habits and operating techniques on both the high-frequency VHF and UHF bands. Each year at the Dayton Hamvention, one forum is dedicated to improving on-the-air techniques. Now, if you're an old-timer, don't go running off, because you're bound to learn something too, not just our newly licensed hams. Let's get started with our first excerpt, which features Mitch Stern, W1SJ, a denizen of Vermont.
Why do I need to bother with this? Well, for the first thing, good operating means more enjoyment. Do you have more fun working the guy, or do you have more fun saying, the guy says, I can't hear you? Which one's more fun? You got to ask yourself that question. The second thing, better operators make more contacts, and he who dies with the most contacts wins. That's what somebody told me, at least. We are looked up to as the radio experts. All the non-hams look, oh, he's a ham. He knows what he's doing. Well, we better know what we're doing if we're going to be doing this stuff, right? So that's what we're going to learn about. And we have a public service mission, which means that we're called upon to do the marathons and the bike-a-thons and all this stuff and also do emergency communications. We better know what we're doing. And we also need to know more so that we can teach the new guys and gals how to do this. I mean, this is always about training and teaching people. So what we're going to talk about, we're going to first do the basics, the basic operating skills, and unlearn the bad habits that you all have acquired over time, unless you don't have any bad habits, but we'll find that out in a minute. Then we're going to look at public service operating, because we're going to do that next, because that's pretty important. You're going to do operating, equipment, and working with non-hams, because this is our mission. That's the primary reason for ham radio, is to do public service and emergencies and all that other stuff. Then what we're going to do is talk about contesting. Now, how many of you don't like contesting? A few, you know, probably a few more that don't want to admit to it. Contesting is nothing. I mean, for me, I'm a contester, so for me, it's an avocation, it's a religion, it's a way of life. But for most regular people, it is a training tool. If you use it as a tool and understand, the whole point behind contesting is to be a better operator, then you look at it at a whole new meaning. So why operate a contest? What's a contest? The basics, the strategy, the skills, the equipment. We'll go over some of those things. And then we'll summarize the whole thing, tie it all up, and then we'll be ready to get out of here and go to dinner. So, the most important thing to do to be a great contester, what is that? You guys were here last year, and I changed the talk. I found one that's even more important than listening. You know what that is? Now, I've added this because I'll be honest with you, I called on about 15 different repeaters and on 5255, every known simplex channel known in the Western world, for 950 miles from Vermont here to Dayton, and I didn't hear a soul. I actually made some contacts on 20 meters, but 2 meters in UHF, nothing. Why? Because these people didn't turn their radios on, and they didn't make that important CUSO with me. So you got to do that. And you know, I mean, I had some friends, I told them, okay, here's the frequency I'm going to be on. Oh, I don't carry a radio at Hamvention. That's too much to carry. Are you kidding me? You don't make contacts with the radio off. The radio needs to stay on, okay? Even though it's annoying and you hear somebody on that you don't want to talk to, whatever, you need to have that radio on. You lose the cell phone. I hear a cell phone ringing. Next year, I'm going to bring a cell phone jammer. I'm going to have some fun. No one will be able to make or place a call. And you know, I'll tell you, when I talk to somebody and they take a cell phone call while I'm talking to them, I don't talk to them anymore. It's like, well, if I'm that unimportant, then why bother with you? I mean, really, I mean, yes, I have a cell phone, and yes, I do give my number out to select people, mostly my wife. And when she calls me in the middle of a CUSO, I say, hold on, I'm talking on the radio, I'll get back to you. I have the proper sense of priority. You know, unless she says, you know, this flame shooting out of the kitchen, okay, that will take priority. But otherwise, you know, if she calls to say, oh, the cat, you know, ate a mouse or something, well, okay, fine, give me the news at 6. So what are the techniques to maximize ham radio fun? Well, here we go. Once the radio is turned on, you gotta listen. How many times you hear on the radio, people don't listen? Okay, I talk to them, I give them my name, I have a regular speech. Okay, yes, name is Mitch, and I'm located in wherever I'm located, and fine business and all that other stuff. And then invariably, when they come back to me, what did you say your name was? What was you called? W1 something or other? God, I hate that. I don't like to repeat myself. I'm a teacher. As part of being a teacher, you have to repeat yourself. But when I'm talking to someone, I don't want to be a teacher anymore. I just want to be a regular civilian. So listening is pretty important. Just getting the guy's name is important. Certainly, it's important if you're passing emergency traffic. Then, once you get the listening part down, you have to be able to speak. A lot of people can't do that very well. They mumble. You know, you'll talk like that. They ain't going to hear you very well. You have to speak very clearly. That may not be the way you normally speak. I know I love to make fun of Midwestern accents. You know, I'm from Cincinnati and all. You can't do that on the radio. You have to kind of pronounce each syllable really distinctly because people may not understand you. I can go run into someone from Louisiana. I won't understand them even right in front of them in the Hamfest. I said, translation, please. And of course, they don't understand me either. It's kind of interesting. Same language and the accents are just so diverse. No mo? No, don't talk like no mo. The next thing is you got to be a master of the frequencies. Now, if you're a technician and you operate on VHF, you got to know where the repeaters are. Okay, meet me on this frequency. I don't know. I have something in my mind. I don't know what repeater I want. Well, you got to know what repeaters cover where so that you know which tool you got to use to get the job done. If you're on HF, you need to know what frequency will work over the path you're talking to. If you're talking from here to New Jersey, you know, well, 20 meters kind of sort of works and 15 won't work. You'll skip right over. You have to know things like that. And that just comes from studying propagation. And you get on every day for the next 10 years. Believe me, you'll get good at this. Use the right equipment for the job. So if you are communicating and you have some important traffic to pass and it's over several thousand miles, that's not a time to play QRP. QRP is fine. It's fun. It has its place, but you don't do it when you need reliability. If you need reliability, you don't use the Mickey Mouse boat anchor radio that kind of works on alternate Wednesdays. You really got to get the stuff that really works well, the right equipment. If you need the reliability, use the big antenna, not the wire hanging out of the shady tree. Teach others to be good operators. You know how I learned to be a good operator? I went to field day when I was a little Johnny novice about yay high, and I watched all these guys operate. I go, wow, I want to do that too. You just watch somebody who's good and you just marvel. How does he talk so fast? And the most important piece that probably you guys will not do is you got to practice. So I can talk here all day long about this, but unless you put this into practice and go home and do it all the time, you won't really gain anything out of it. So here's your basic operating skills. You make sure your RF signal and audio is good. So starting with operating on VHF, if you got this noisy, swishy, garbly signal into the repeater, guess what? No one's going to want to talk to you. When I hear a noisy signal, I run the other way. My idea is, if I'm going to hear noise, I might as well get on 20 meters and work some DX or get on 160 meters or something. When I'm on 2 meters, I want clear, full quieting, all that stuff. So it means that either run the power or run the antenna or move or get to the spot where you can be heard clearly and make sure your audio works. If someone says your audio is garbage, well, maybe they don't know. Maybe they're hearing something wrong. But if a lot of people say, hey, your audio is garbage, it probably is. And it means you have an opportunity to fix it so that it sounds clean.
You're listening to part one of A Refresher on Operating Techniques, a multi-part series excerpting from the 2011 Dayton Hamvention Operating Techniques Forum. We'll return to Mitch Stern, W1SJ's talk, in a moment.
This is the Rain Report. Scheduled to hang out in booth 329 with the Gateway 160 meter radio newsletter at the Hamvention. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
When you're talking to people, unless you're on 80 meter AM or something like that, where it's customary to flip the switch on, put your feet up, and talk for the next hour, you want to talk in short bursts. The idea, it's a conversation. You give a little information, they give a little information, back and forth. That's how you normally talk when you talk to people on the phone or in person. You don't say, well, fine business. I can't do that. I have a memory about this small. You know, I have a 64K memory, so two sentences and I forget what the heck you said. And actually, some people even have a shorter attention span. So you want to kind of keep it back and forth, keep it fresh, not tell your whole life story. Because at some point, somebody may not want to hear the whole story. They might want you to get cut to the chase and get to the climax, should there be one. Say the important information, avoid all else. So if you're talking to somebody, you want to first talk about what's important. And of course, this depends on the conversation. If it's a casual conversation, I mean, the first thing you want to say is call sign, name, location, and get that out of the way. And, you know, then you can divulge into such important things as the type of radio and how long your antenna is and how many watts and what the weather is at your location, even though you're a mile and a half from the guy over there and they're probably seeing the same weather anyway. But, you know, sometimes around here, that there is differences. I was a mile down the road. We didn't get any rain yesterday. So, I mean, here it's in, where I live, no. I mean, it rains, the whole place gets wet. So you want to say that important information first. Here's that enunciation again. Enunciate. Don't mumble. It's not a telephone. It may not be, you know, I was talking on the cell phone, and cell phone coverage isn't all that good where I live. And I'm trying to pass a credit card to a hotel, and they're not getting it. And so right away, I get this phone up, and I'm holding it up like this, and I'm like enunciating each number, and I'm spelling things out phonetically. I'm thinking, why do I have this cell phone? I can do this on 20 meters. When you're on HF, you use phonetics. What I tell people is when you give your call sign on HF, you give it with phonetics or not at all. VHF, you don't have to. And because what happens is consonants, such as what I have in my call sign, like an S, has high frequency component. Those components get rolled off when you talk on a single sideband transmitter. So when I say W1SJ, which is my call sign on HF, it can be W1XJ, W1FJ, or W1SJ. They all sound alike. So if I don't give phonetics, I got a 1 in 3 chance of getting it right. And this is for a rare QSL card. Believe me, this is an important thing. So you give the phonetics each and every time you give your call sign on HF. VHF, not as important. It may be helpful sometimes, but you don't have to. And you'd be surprised how many times I'll work someone with a call sign W3TBG, and I'm left to figure out, is it CBG, CVG? I don't know. Give it to me again. Okay? So that's something that you need to do. If you get bad conditions, in other words, you're going out of a range of repeater, or the HF conditions start to wane on you, what you start doing is you start to talk more slowly and emphasize each syllable. If you're an old-time shortwave listener, any old-time shortwave listeners? The Voice of America, when they used to give a broadcast, they had a thing called Special English. You remember that? Well, it was in English, but they talked very slowly for people in other countries who were learning English. I said, wow, what a great idea. So you got to learn to speak in Special English. You'll sound a little weird, but the person at the other end will really appreciate it. Use a good speaker or headphones. This is, everyone fails on this. So if you're just using your 2-meter radio in your car with the stock speaker, that's not a good speaker. Invariably, it either points up and it goes right into the dash, or it points down and it's not pointing towards you. And the speaker is about an inch in diameter, if that much. And it sounds like garbage. And I know it does because on my repeater, the courtesy beat is set for something like 280 hertz. I want it to be low and subtle, not in your face. And a lot of these speakers won't reproduce it. People say, I can't hear the beat. I says, get yourself a speaker. Go out to the flea market, get an old Motorola G speaker, stick it on the floor of the car there, and you'll hear everybody clearly. If you're on HF, you use headphones. You just have to. I mean, I can't hear people if I'm just using a big speaker in a room. You get room reverberations, and you just can't hear anything. You put the headset on. In fact, I don't even have a microphone like this. I have a headset with a boom on it. That's all I use at home. And I can hear everything. Think before you speak. How many have made this mistake? Okay. When you're talking to somebody, giving a full blow-by-blow description of all the idiot drivers and all that, that's fine, but it's kind of like this isn't any new news. We know this already. And that just means you just have nothing to say. Of course, I'm guilty of the other thing. I don't say anything. People turn it over to me and I don't say anything. Well, where'd you go? I said, well, I don't have anything to say. Sorry. I'm racking my brains here. But you really should say what has to be said, not just kind of just ramble on because it's your turn. All right, so now the fun part, unlearning the bad habits. Okay, so don't and do. So the FCC, this may come as a shock to some people, but the FCC requires you to give your call sign every 10 minutes. Heard of that rule? And at the end of all your conversations. They don't say you have to give it at the beginning. And so I never do. And people get all, well, what's your call sign? So I ain't going to tell you. Not for another 10 minutes. So there. Unless they need their QSL card, then I'll give it to them. So you just give your call sign every 10 minutes. You don't give it every QSO. It kind of gets monotonous. And again, don't follow what I do because I give my call sign every 10 days, whether I need to or not. That's kind of erring on the wrong side of it. You know, anyone from the FCC? No. So you want to do that. You know, keep in mind when you identify, it kind of gets tiring for the other person. When you give your call sign, all you need to do is give your call sign. So this is the hypothetical thing here. I don't know if W8XXX is really in the audience or not, but you just say W8XXX or W8X-ray, X-ray, X-ray if you're on HF. You don't have to say W8XXX for ID. We know know this. Why else would you be giving it? Okay, so you can leave the for ID out. Everyone says that. Oh, for ID. Well, yes, of course it's for ID. Another one you hear people say is they give everyone's call sign. Now, yes, back in the 60s, there was a rule indeed that said you had to give everyone's call sign when you were talking. You had to say their call sign and had to say your call sign. That went away 30 years ago. And so what people would say, they give a whole list of call signs, and then they would say, in the group. Well, I think we figured that out. You just gave 14 call signs. I guess that's a group. Just give your call sign. Now, look, you freed up all this extra time now. Now you've got a full 10 minutes to say a whole bunch of stuff. Now you won't know what to say, right?
Well, that's our first excerpt from the 2011 Dayton Hamvention Operating Techniques Forum. Our speaker was Mitch Stern, W1SJ, a contesting and public service veteran from Vermont. Mitch will return next week to address these monumental questions. If dit-dit-dit-dit-dit-dit is laughter in Morse code, how do you laugh when using voice? And what part of no do you understand?
Just a reminder that Rain and the Gateway 160 Meter Radio Newsletter will be holding forth at the Hamvention in Booth 329 in the Hara Arena. If you're going to make the trek and you have a VHF ham rig in the car, we suggest you monitor 146.52 simplex. The closer you get to Dayton, the more fun you'll find on that national calling frequency. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2015 Rain, all rights reserved. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from the Rain Report. Available on demand on therainreport.com and via Twitter at #TheRainReport.